Track 12. Now, John R. Allen was brought up on a farm in Aberdeenshire at the beginning of the 20th century. In Farmer's Boy, written in 1935, we are allowed a view of the little world called Dungare. He gives a vivid account of the boy's explorations of his surrounding, his early school days, his first visit to the town, and his awareness of the outbreak of the Great War. Today, we hear about the day they broke up for the holidays.
All pretense of work stopped at noon, when we were set free for an hour's play in the open. Suddenly, the bell rang. The din halted for a moment of intense silence, for even the wind seemed to hold its breath. Then we all rushed for the schoolroom and the feed. The next 4 hours were the one time of the year when the school wore any aspect of true humanity. The sliding partition had been opened, throwing the two rooms into one and revealing the total splendour of the decorations. It was a riot of coloured paper, evergreens and holly berries. The big table in the infant room bore a noble array of tea urns and cups, while another supported a rare assortment of fancy cooking. Odd hampers stood about, full of luscious, exciting things that would be revealed in due course. It was with the greatest difficulty that we could be persuaded into our places. When we had reduced to order, our mothers and sisters found seats on the benches where most of them had learned the ABC in their day. Miss Thorne opened the piano, Miss Gray banged the floor with her pointer, and the company rose and burst into full-throated melody about when humbled shepherds watched their flocks. After the angels that had been assumed back to heaven, with a distressing uncertainty as to the tone among the older boys, we chanted the Lord's Prayer with unusual heartiness and then broke into a clatter of excitement. Two ladies appeared with the tea. Others distributed bags of cakes. The grand feed began. Each child received a bag of buns and a mutton pie, which had to be eaten before the more interesting sweets came round. We were not fastidious. Our rural appetites had not been corrupted by eclairs. We fell on the rather sober pastries with happy shouts and washed them down with cupfuls of hot, sweet tea. It was a heartening sight, with 60 feeding as one. When we had finished the plain fare and burst all the bags, after much misdirected expenditure of wind, the mothers and sisters handed round their baskets of homemade bakeries, jam puffs, almond cakes, shortbread, and sugared biscuits. All the time, the wonder grew that we didn't burst. But nature beat us at last, and we had to give up.